This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا صدق الله العظيم. So we were in the thick of the discussion between the enrollment conditions and the potential compliance or otherwise between the student and the teacher. The student in this particular relationship is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith of Jibreel, فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. When the knees of the blessed messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam went flush into the knees of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And what do we learn from that? That was the most respectful posture. That's the most respectful posture. And of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being the greatest of every creation, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam being one of the greatest of malaika. Can you imagine this combination? Can you imagine the greatest of malaika, the greatest of humans? And of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is even greater than Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest of Allah's entire creation. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. So, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam is putting certain stringent conditions upon Musa that you'll need to persevere, and I doubt you will able to honor this year. After all, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا, that you have not encompassed this knowledge, you're not familiar with the science, so it's going to be difficult for you to understand the process here. And that takes us into verse 69, which I just recited before you, in which Musa alayhi salam assures Khadir alayhi salam. Qala, Musa said, satajiduni, soon you will find me, inshaAllah, Allah walin, sabiran, I will persevere, whatever your conditions are, I will comply and I will oblige. And it is within the rights of a teacher, a mentor, an institution to put down certain conditions in the manner in which they would want to transmit knowledge to their students, etc. And a deduction is made from this verse here. دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ لِلشَّيْخِ الْإِشْتِرَاطِ مَعَ الْمُرِيدِ بِمَا يَرَىٰ. Okay. وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. Allah willing, I will be patient and I will not disobey any command of yours. One quick reflection in verse number 69. He said, I will be patient, but he added the word Allah willing. And that again is the humility and the modesty of a Nabi, that his reliance is on Allah. His reliance is on Allah. Confidence is good, but it must be paired up with reliance on Allah. Don't be overconfident about yourself. Don't be overconfident about yourself. And that's the teachings of a Nabi. What did Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam say to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said in chapter 37, Surah As-Saffat. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Ismail alayhi salam, I see in a dream and a vision that I'm slaughtering you, right? What's your opinion? What do you feel? How do you respond? فَانْدُرْ مَاذَا تَرَىٰ. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Ya Abati, oh my dad, do what you have been instructed to. And the adoption of this expression is, he didn't say اِذْبَحْنِي, slaughter me. He said, do what you have been instructed. Meaning, if the command and the injunction was more supreme than sacrifice, so be it. So be it. Right? Satajiduni, soon you will find me, insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, by the will of Allah, minas sabirin, amongst those that persevere. Falamma aslama, and again, this, if you know basic Arabic, you'll appreciate it. So aslama can mean when they both submitted and surrendered, or aslama when they both brought iman and Islam. Right? So of course they were the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this was a pinnacle manifestation of that submission. Both father and son on a unprecedented level of submission. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah said to Abraham, submit, he said, I've submitted لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, for the Lord of all the worlds. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 2, juz 1, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. And remember when Allah tested Ibrahim in many ways, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He obliged, he complied, he completed, he perfected every test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put him through. So what's the point here? Allah willing, Allah willing. I'm going to fast all my fast in Ramadan, Allah willing. I'm going to stand in Taraweeh all my nights, Allah willing. I'm going to observe the 6 fasts of Shawwal, Allah willing. I'm going to recite so much Quran, Allah willing. With the grace, with the kindness, with the help, with the assistance of the Almighty. So of course you need to have a target and a goal, and you need to have confidence. Nobody achieved anything without willpower in this world. But a believer knows that that willpower can only come into motion and action if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to happen. In the 13 Juz, in chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, again, I just have a reflection of the supplication of Abraham alayhi salatu wassalam. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. Oh my Lord, make this place peaceful. Meaning Makkah Mukarramah. هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. وَجَنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. And save me and my son from idolatry. Save me, وَجَنُبْنِي, save me, وَبَنِيَّ and my son, and from نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, that we worship idols. لا إله إلا الله. This is Ibrahim Abul Anbiya, the man who established Tawheed. And what is his supplication? That, oh Allah, save me and my son. In Bayanul Quran, under this ayah, in Masailu Suluk, it is written, Dalla ala anna al-anbiya lam ya'manu ala anfusihim, fakayfa biman yataqallabu kulla anin bayna nafsi wa shaytan, fala yanbaghi li ahad an yaghtar bikamalih. La ilaha illallah. Dalla ala anna al-anbiya, the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam makes us understand that even the galaxy of prophets did not rely on themselves. Oh my Allah, save me, save my son. Oh Allah, save me, save my son. Dalla ala anna al-anbiya lam ya'manu ala anfusihim, fakayfa biman yataqallabu kulla anin bayna nafsi wa shaytan. Then what about that person who is been tossed around by the devil and his ego? Did not the Urdu poet say, Nafso shaitan ne milkar kiya hai mujhko taba. Nafso shaitan ne milkar kiya hai mujhko taba. Ae mere maula, tu meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. Ae mere maula, tu meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. Nafso shaitan ne milkar kiya hai mujhko taba. The ego and the devil collectively, maliciously, they have plotted for my destruction. I'm either being misled by my ego or by my devil. And either way, they are launching these attacks on me. Right? Nafso shaitan, milkar kiya hai mujhko taba. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar. Oh my Lord, help me, guide me. Chahta hoon main teri pana. I ask for your asylum and your protection. فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ يَتَقَلَّبُ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ يَتَقَلَّبُ كُلَّ آنٍ بَيْنَ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. If the Anbiya's reliance was on Allah, then what about the average, regular, fallible mortal who is being tossed around every second by the nafs and the devil? فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدْ أَنْ يَغْتَرَّ بِكَمَالِهِ. So nobody should be boastful about himself, because at any time, tawfiq and divine ability can be snatched away by the Almighty. We beg, we beseech, we implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to seize the bounties that He has given us. اللهم لا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. We learn from the prophetic teachings and traditions to make this dua. Okay, so that's verse number 69, in which Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is assuring Khadir alayhi salam, I will persevere, Allah willing, and I will not disobey you. And that leads us into verse number 70, and this journey is just getting more intriguing, fascinating, exciting. I can still remember the day my honorable dad enrolled me at the seminary, at the alma mater, my institution where I went to study, and I still have vivid memories. I still have vivid memories where I was enrolled at the age of 12 when I commenced my pursuit of memorizing the Quran. And my dad took me, and I was enrolled into that classroom. I was all excited that I want to memorize the Quran and I want to commence my journey of acquiring knowledge, and the journey continues. The journey continues. I'm far from over. This journey, with the grace of Allah, it's been 30 odd years, alhamdulillah, in learning and teaching and acquiring, and you just continue enjoying it. Al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lahu. But yes, memories, absolute memories. And the teacher at that time, because I did not complete my tahfiz day, I had just commenced, and it was just few days, and then I moved to another teacher, Qari Ismail, may Allah preserve him with goodness, where I had completed my memorization of the Quran. But day one, I enrolled at a particular institution, and I was given the task, or assigned the task, of memorizing a page of the Quran in Juz 15, chapter 17. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. And whenever in my subsequent years of teaching, whenever I would come to this and, you know, impart this lesson and do the commentary of this particular page, it used to evoke this nostalgia, and it used to bring tears to me, you know what, bringing back the memory where I enrolled as a young learner at an institution, and this was the first page that was assigned to me to memorize as a trial run to see if, you know, it will follow through. But purely and exclusively through the grace of the Almighty, He made it possible for us to go through some, formal training and learning. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those that are the ulul ilm in His eyes, people who Allah declares as people of knowledge. So Allah has defined the people of knowledge in the Quran with different attributes. One is you have a certification, you have an award, you have a graduation from any institution, seminary, etc. But then Allah refers to أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ, the one who worships Allah in the hours of the night, قَائِمًا, sometimes in prayer, standing, قَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ, thinking of akhirah, hoping for the mercy of his Lord, fearing the chastisement. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And then Allah asks, can those who know and those who don't know, can they be equal? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Qarun was mocking with his pomp and his glory and his wealth and his arrogance and his flamboyance, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمُ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِّمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Those who had knowledge, they responded by saying, no, the reward of Allah is great. This world is temporary, transitory, and deceptive. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines knowledge. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ عِلْمًا أَن يَخْشَى اللَّهِ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that if you fear Allah, that's a sufficient testimony that you have knowledge. That is a sufficient testimony that you have knowledge. And if you don't fear Allah, وَكَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ جَهْلًا, and sufficient proof of your ignorance is that you're impressed and obsessed with yourself. So these are the qualities of knowledge in the eyes of Allah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's quotation is very famous. يُعْرَفُ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ نَائِمُونَ وَبِصَوْمِهِ إِذَا النَّاسُ مُفْطِرُونَ وَبِبُكَائِهِ. A person of the Quran is one who will be identified. When people are sleeping, he'll be in prayer. When people are eating, he will be fasting. When people are indulging in vain talk, he will be silent. And Fudayl ibn Ayyad rahimahullah said, يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَلَّا يَلْهُ مَعَ مَنْ يَلْهُ وَلَا يَلْغُ مَعَ مَنْ يَلْغُ وَلَا يَسْهُ مَعَ مَنْ يَسْهُ. That a person who carries the Quran, you will not find him talking in vain talk, vulgar language, preoccupied in things that are temporary and transitory, meaningless and futile, you'll find him objective and honorable and respectful. Was it not Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa in a particular expedition that as the enemy were advancing, he said, Bi'sa hamilul Qur'ani ana, Bi'sa hamilul Qur'ani ana. If I don't rise up for the challenge and I don't advance, then I am an evil and a wicked ambassador of the Qur'an. So these were people who were defined by people of knowledge in the true sense of the word. But a certificate or an acknowledgement from an institution doesn't buy me anything or doesn't buy you anything. The matter rests with Allah, and Allah will decide. Allah will decide who is a scholar in the true sense of the word and who is not a true scholar in the sense of the word. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahullah, when he makes mention of this year, the call of one of the hukama, that someone was asked, مَا بَالُ عُلَمَاءِ زَمَانِنَا لَا يَتَّعِذُ النَّاسُ بِمَوَاعِذِهِمْ. In the previous times, people would be inspired by the advisors of the scholars. Why today people are not inspired? And he said, إِنَّ عُلَمَاءَ السَّلَفْ كَانُوا أَيْقَاضًا وَكَانَ النَّاسُ نِيَامًا فَنَبَّهَ الْأَيْقَاضُ النِّيَامِ. That in the previous time, the scholars were active, they were vibrant, they were hands-on, and the masses were sleeping. So the active scholars revived the sleeping masses. وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى. And the scholars of our time are asleep while the masses are dead. So how can a sleeping scholar revive a dead individual? So really we are in challenging times. We are in challenging times. Okay, moving forward now, verse number 70. Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam says to Musa, قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Okay, قَالَ, he said, فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي, if you want to follow me and you persist in my company, then فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ, do not inquire of me anything. Don't ask me of anything. حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, until I make mention of it myself. So if something occurs, you observe something, don't initiate a discussion, don't question me, don't interrogate me, don't ask me. Yes, if I commence and I say something, then absolutely you can do so. I often say to my children and I often say to students as well, that many times students forget one etiquette, is that when you're with your senior, then even in a casual moment, you need to keep your guard on track. You need to keep your guard. So you are on an outing, you know what, it's chilled, it's relaxed, there's a bit of humor. Your father made a little joke and he said a thing to you. And probably in that humor, there is certain limitations in which you can also respond. But regardless of how relaxed the atmosphere is and how casual the moment is and how informal the senior is, as a student, I beg you, my brother, I beseech you, my son, that with your father, you got to maintain a degree of guard. You cannot lose it completely. No, but you know what? It's an outing. We're on a picnic. We're having recreation. Exactly. Great. Wonderful. Chill. But there is a cutoff point for you. There is a cutoff point. You remain a child and you remain a student. So while he might ask you certain questions, that doesn't give you the liberty to ask back the same questions. And I shudder to say this in a way that can give off any form of pride. May Allah forgive me and protect me from pride. But in tahdith bin ni'mah, that is expression of gratitude, I'm so grateful to Allah for allowing me to interact with ulama and scholars and mashayikh and traveling and interacting and learning. So it taught me respect and mannerism. And that's the first thing I then came home and applied with my respected parents. When I commenced my journey of knowledge and I seen that, you know what, this is how I would sit with my teacher, this is how I would eat with my teacher, this is how I would walk with my teacher, this is how I would talk with my teacher. And then when I started studying the nusus, I said, well, if this is the respect I apply to my teachers, then why not of a greater level to my parents? Because in Quran and Sunnah, after Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my greatest obligation is to my parents. My greatest obligation is to my parents. And Islam impresses upon us obligation to parents even if they are non-Muslims. In Juz 20, in chapter on Ankabut, in the backdrop of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when he became a Muslim and his mom said, I won't eat, I won't drink, I won't take shelter, and I'll wither and die. And then the verse was revealed, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. And if those parents put pressure on you and compel you that you must ascribe partners with me, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them in that regard. But immediately after that, Allah said, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But in this world, interact with them with respect and dignity. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and follow in the teachings those who turn to Allah and who obey Allah. So we need to understand, as a child, it could be a casual moment, but there is a limitation. I cannot necessarily respond with the same amount of humor. I can respond, look at the Sahaba. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be relaxed, he would be calm, he would be so interactive, he would participate in their discussions. If it was worldly, he would add to that discussion. If it was something else, he would add to it. And Sahaba would also have humorous moments with him. But Subhanallah al-Azim, the respect of Sahaba is just remarkable, impeccable, and flawless at every moment and juncture. So what did Sayyidina Khadir say? فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي, if you follow me, that's verse number 70, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ, don't ask me anything, حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, until I do not initiate the discussion. Agreed? Yes. Finalized? Absolutely. Confirmed? In order. Lovely. The journey commences. The journey commences. Join me along. Verse number 71. فَانْطَلَقَا. So they too proceed. Again, now look at the beauty of Quran. The scholars analyze everything. So we had Musa alayhi salam, who was accompanied by Yusha ibn Nun. He has now met up with Khadir, negotiated the conditions, agreed, and the journey has commenced. When the journey commences, the adoption of the word of the Quran is the two of them proceed. The question then is, the adoption of a dual expression kind of omits the mention of Yusha ibn Nun, the servant of Musa. Where is he? Allah didn't say fantalaqu, which is a plural expression of three or more. Allah said fantalaqa, the two of them went forward. Why not the mention of Yusha ibn Nun? The scholars say the wisdom of that is because he was a tabi', he was a follower, he was a helper, he was an assistant. The focus in the journey was the matbu', the leader, and that was Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Hence the Quran adopted an expression of dual, although Yusha ibn Nun was with, but he doesn't feature in terms of any message or lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not incorporate his mention in the expression of the words, though it is implied and understood by qara'in that he was also on this journey. Okay, verse number 71, فَانْطَلَقَا, the two of them advance. Yusha ibn Nun is with as well. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَا فِي السَّفِينَةِ, they come to a river crossing. And there is some people who have a boat. Narration suggests these people recognize Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salam is traveling with Khadir. They get to a river crossing. There are people here. They have their little boat. They recognize Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, and they agree to take them on board. And hamaluhum bighayri nawlin, the hadith of Bukhari. They recognize Khadir and they say, no, there's no charge. There's no, no money will be taken because of the recognition, and they know who he is. So we're not going to charge you in any way. Lovely, amazing. Musa alayhi salam is worth. Awesome, great. I've been told to meet with this man, interact, learn from him. And here we are, we observing, and things are unfolding. Hopped onto the boat and get on. Hatta idha rakiba fi safina, until when the boat boarded. Rakiba, mounted, boarded. Fi safina, the boat. Kharaqaha, Khidr alayhi salam broke off a panel from the boat. Kharaqaha, he made a hole. He broke off a panel. The Quran says this here, and that's a verbatim translation. Hatta when Ida Rakiba, they both mounted, As-Safina, the boat, Kharaqaha, he broke off a panel. Some say it was at the just when they had alighted the conveyance, the vessel, they had disembarked, and that's the time he broke off a panel. Others say he broke off the panel immediately and probably then patched it up to allow it to then sail across. But in essence, he defected the boat. He defected the boat. There's no getaway from this here. The other related details is what historical narration suggests. So, أَخَرَقْتَهَا حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ خَرَقَهَا. Right? He made a hole, he broke off the panel. Musa alayhi salam responded, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. أو خِذَر, أو خَذِر, استفهام, خَرَقْتَهَا. Did you break the panel? Did you make a hole? لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. To ultimately then drown the occupants of this vessel. Here we would refer to lam as lam aqiba, not lam illa, lam aqiba. The outcome, the end result, the final result of which would be that, hello, we are going to be drowned. And I've just like kind of observed these people were courteous, kind, selfless, took us on board, obliged, complied, didn't ask for any compensation, money, remuneration. أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. Did you break the panel to drown us? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرَى. You have certainly committed a grave act. You have certainly committed a grave act. Now remember, Musa alayhi salam just agreed that he'll oblige, he will comply, he will not respond, he will not interrogate, and the journey has just commenced. The first thing has just occurred, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came out with strong words. So immediately after that, verse number 72, Khadir alayhi salam said, you know, if I can paraphrase, take out that enrollment conditions here and have a look at it. Did you see the clauses in it? Did you see the agreement? Agreement was clause number 5, you will not be asking me conditions. Hello, you said you will not be asking me, interrogating, you promised, you committed, you honored, you claimed, whatever it is. Qala Khadir alayhi salam said, alam aqul laka innaka لن تستطيع ألم أقول إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا. Did I not tell you, did I not inform you that you will not be able to persevere with me? You will not be able to persevere. Now, a quick reflection here. The hadith of Bukhari says that فكانت الأولى من موسى نسيانا. Musa alayhi salam literally forgot. He literally forgot. He literally forgot that, yes, that was a prerequisite, that was a condition, that was the agreement I had made with Khadir, that I will not speak, and I just responded, and I just did this here. And of course, based on the knowledge that he possessed, that is the teachings of the Sharia, the divine teachings, this is strange, this is peculiar, because according to the teachings of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, help people, assist people, rectify people, reform people, build for people. And here I am seeing the opposite here, that something is being defected. But like we said, ilmu asraril kawn, these are the secrets of the mysteries of the happenings of the world, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala alam aqul laka innaka lan tastati'a ma'iya sabra. Did I not warn you that you will not be able to make sabr? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to Khadir, and that's verse number 73, قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتْ. My teacher, my senior, my mentor, please don't take me to task on my mistake and my forgetful nature. لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتُ. Do not take me to task for something that I have forgotten. وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِ عُسْرًا. And do not be harsh with me in my matters. Apologies. Yes, I had agreed. I had defaulted. And I ask you, please forgive me for my mistake and don't make my matters complex. So let's wait here and see now what happens to the journey. Does it continue? Does it halt here? Again, what are we picking up here? The authority of the teacher. He can at any point remind the student, hey, listen, you haven't complied. You know what? Do you want to stay here? The tone of the student again, لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت. Oh, my teacher, oh, my senior, please, please forgive me. Please forgive me. My mistake. I have erred. So as long as there is that humble approach, there's that humble approach, and there is that begging approach, there is that desirous approach, then hopefully you will learn. What they say in Arabic, there's a proverb that a proud person is deprived of knowledge. A proud person, just like water rolls down a slope and doesn't go up a hill. If you have humility, then knowledge will flow through you. But if you are innamal ilmu harbun lil makani al-ali, right? Knowledge will not roll up a steep place. Likewise, an arrogant person will not able to acquire knowledge. Look at the humility of Musa alayhi salam. My apologies, don't take me to task. Let's wait and see what develops and what's the new happenings in this amazing journey. May Allah bless us with humility and divine knowledge. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.